This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. My guest, Michael C. Hall, is one of the stars of 6 Feet Under, the HBO series about a family that owns a funeral business. The father who ran the business died in the first episode. The two sons have taken over. One son, Nate, became a partner very reluctantly. The other, David, played by Michael Hall, had already been active in the business. David is more straight-laced, business-oriented, and uptight than his brother. He's also gay, which until recently he'd kept a secret from everyone, including his family. In the first episode of this season, his mother was trying to be supportive of his sexual orientation. At the same time, she wanted to let her children know that she's having a relationship with Nikolai, the owner of the flower shop where she works. In this scene, she's telling the family that she's invited Nikolai to a family dinner. She wants each of her children to bring someone, too.
Nate, I'd like you to invite Brenda. Claire, I'd like you to invite Gabriel Dimas. And David, if you have a special friend, I'd like for him to come as well.
Why is my friend special?
All right. If you're having sex with anyone, I'd like to meet him. Is that better?
Not really.
Stop acting like children! Are you seeing anyone?
No.
Well, why not? Sex is an important and healthy part of life. It's nothing to be ashamed of.
Yes, I know that. Unfortunately, I'm not having any right now.
What happened to that cop? The black man?
He met someone else.
Michael C. Hall has developed quite a following, but most of his fans know little about him since his previous work was in theater. In the Broadway revival of Cabaret, he played the MC after Alan Cumming left the role. In the revival, the MC is very sexually insinuating. I told Hall it was hard for me to imagine him in that role after seeing him portray someone so inhibited in 6 Feet Under.
I guess I sort of was required to close every door that I'd opened while doing the MC when I came to play David. And the roadmap was there. I'm obviously different from Alan, and it's the MC is a role that you're certainly, as much as any role, required to personalize. But I definitely was someone who was maybe a pansexual, up for anything. And when I did the pilot, I went back to New York to do the production of Cabaret for another month before we came and did the 12 other episodes for the season. And I would sometimes take a break on stage and realize that I was maybe playing David's fantasy of himself in a way. And it was really interesting to go from such an extreme to someone who was so shut down in so many ways.
When you auditioned, did you know which brother you were auditioning for?
Yeah. I was asked to read for the part of David from the beginning. And when I read the script, I think I responded to that role. Because, of course, I had it in mind, but I think I would have anyway, just because, you know, if drama is conflict, David is inherently dramatic because he's conflicted over his sexuality, of course, but also his relationship to his family, to his work, to his religious life even. They're all characterized by conflict.
So what did you have to do to prove yourself against the other David Fishers?
I don't know. I think in spite of the fact that on paper, I suppose I'm very different from David, there was something that I did immediately respond to in terms of having a sense of how he might express himself or how he walked or breathed, or I don't know, that sense of resenting what you imagine to be a lack of appreciation for all the sacrifices you've made for all the other people in your life. And not that I am fueled by resentment, but I guess I knew what that was about somehow, and took that as a starting point.
In 6 Feet Under, you play someone who runs a family funeral business. Had you already had the experience of going to a funeral director and organizing a funeral, choosing the coffin, making all those horrible arrangements?
I'd been sort of on the periphery of intake meetings. I was never the person who was making the decisions, but I'd been through that with family members and the like, and I'd been to wakes of friends and family members, and could draw on that, just that atmosphere. I've heard Alan talk about it. Just it's a place where, and I think they do this in terms of the way they shoot the show, that everything's real, but there's just some sort of peppering of surreality when you're in that situation. Of course, David and Nate are on the other side of that and maybe are creating a space for people to exist in a place where they can feel whatever they need to feel. But there remains that element of surreality or timelessness. Time stops, and I remembered that.
Did you meet anybody who reminded you of yourself on the other end of the desk when you were arranging the funerals?
Well, I think my father passed away when I was 11, and I think my most intense memories of spending time in a funeral home were come from that time. And I guess we haven't had someone quite that young, but I know when Gabe Demas, who's younger 6-year-old brother, shot and killed himself accidentally, was there with his mother. Of course, he felt an incredible amount of guilt and responsibility because he was looking after a kid who shot himself. But when my father died, just because of the confusing feelings that come up, I dealt with some of that sense of guilt or vague responsibility as well. So I think I did relate to that, yeah.
Well, so far this season, the good news is you don't have AIDS, although you'd been having unprotected sex. The bad news is you do have gonorrhea.
Right.
The other bad news is your ex-boyfriend appears to be in a solid relationship with a new
yes.
guy, and you still have feelings for him.
Right.
When did you find out what the story for this season would be?
Well, we really find out about things on a script-to-script or episode-to-episode basis. So I wasn't presented with an arc for the new season. I was presented with the first script, and while shooting that script, about halfway through, would get a copy of the next, and so on and so on. So it's kind of like leading a second life. You have a little bit of warning, and sometimes you'll maybe want to get a sense of where things are going just so you can have that in mind. But I think one of the unique challenges of doing an episodic serial like this is that you don't rehearse it as an entire piece as you would a play, or don't shoot it with an entire arc in mind. At least when you do a movie, you have something that's very open-ended, and every script is a page turner. You know, we never know exactly what's going to come next, but that's the fun of it too.
What do people most ask you about in terms of the plot? What do people most want to know?
Early on, people were interested in who burned down the house.
Right.
But I guess usually specific questions about the show have to do with my character, because of course they're talking to me. And I've had a woman recognize me and tell me she loves the show, and then put her hand on my arm and tell me that she hopes that I'm going to be okay. This was about halfway through the first season, which was kind of exciting and creepy simultaneously. There was a guy who walked by me in the locker room of the gym in New York, an older guy, and this was after the season finale when David had had his epiphany in church, and he told me he was glad I was finally starting to behave myself. That's all he said. just said that and walked away. And you know, like a New York fireman walked up and recognized me from the show and said, "Are you going to get back together with that cop? I like you guys." You know, so, which is great.
I do too. I also think you should get back together.
Good.
Here comes a question that you might not want to answer. So
okay,
I'll just remind you: you don't have to answer this if you don't want to.
Right.
Because you play a gay character.
Right.
Probably a lot of viewers wonder if you are gay or straight yourself, and how you feel about playing a gay character in the series.
Right. Well, you know, my first impulse is to say, well, what does it matter? But I think the fact that the character has resonance is why it matters. People inevitably have varying degrees of preoccupation with sexual orientation. I'm not gay. No one ever asked me if I'm a mortician, you know, but...
We know you're not. We know you're
an actor. Right. I'm not gay. I'm not a mortician. I'm an only child, not a middle child. So I'm, you know, it's a bit of internal alchemy and imaginative work that is why I do what I do. I'm really honored to breathe life into the character because I recognize, as I think a lot of people do, that he's a pretty unique creation in terms of a character on television or film or really anywhere I've seen, and that he's a complex flesh and blood, you know, person who's not incidentally gay and is not the understanding neighbor upstairs or the comic relief. His relationship to his sexuality is very complicated, and I think that's unique. So I feel a sense of responsibility, and I'm honored to play the part.
Is it an issue anymore playing a gay character, and how that may or may not affect future casting roles? Is that,
I don't know,
is that just,
I mean,
a thing of the past now, or is that something?
Maybe, maybe not. I mean, I think it's certainly not enough of an issue for me to not play the part. And when I read the part, I'm not playing David in spite of the fact that he's gay. I mean, because he's such a great character. He's such a great character because of his conflict, and his conflict is rooted in his relationship to his sexuality. So I guess in that sense, I'm playing the part because he's gay. I don't know. You know, if anybody out there lacks the imagination or is holding on to whatever bigotry that would keep them from wanting to work with me, I don't really want to work with them anyway, so...
My guest is Michael C. Hall. He plays David on the HBO series 6 Feet Under. We'll talk more after a break. This is Fresh Air. My guest Michael C. Hall plays David, the gay brother on 6 Feet Under, the HBO series about a family that runs a funeral home. Have you been in movies?
Nope.
None at all? Not even a small part?
No, this is really my first thing, other than I did a couple days. I delivered some room service on an episode of All My Children in between theater jobs back in New York. But other than that, this is it. This is, they definitely took a chance because I didn't have a reel or anything when they hired me of screen work. So this is my first chance to get in front of a camera. I'm just glad that I was able to play a character who was so tense because I didn't have to try to get over it. I could just incorporate it into what I was doing and hope that as David relaxed, I as an actor would relax as well.
Do you have a favorite episode from the series so far? Favorite scene for yourself?
I guess some of my favorite scenes and one of my favorite episodes are in there's the Las Vegas episode, I guess the third to last episode of the first season. I think because in that episode, David's coming out to his mother and his epiphany at the church in the final episode, notwithstanding, it's one of his biggest triumphs in that he goes to Las Vegas, steps in and gives a speech that his father was scheduled to give, and goes off the cue cards, throws them in the air and improvises, which is something that he's not so inclined to do. And it's a triumph, and his dad's former colleagues embrace him and take him out. And then he's outed by a stripper. They turn on him, and David in turn turns on himself and acts out in the most extremely self-loathing way that he does up to that point when he solicits the prostitute in Las Vegas. So as far as David goes from the top of the mountain all the way to the bottom in that episode, and that was fun.
What did you do to prepare for it?
With a job like this, I guess I could say that was the 11th episode. So in a way, I did the first 10 episodes.
Good answer.
I'd played David for 10 hours, and I found myself very, you know, preparing, and I was very on top of things early on, and I had a real sense of how it would all unfold, and of course would modify that as we actually shot the scenes. Towards the end, you really do have to surrender somewhat. You can't do that kind of preparation again and again and again because in a lot of ways all the work you've done up to that point is that preparation.
Now, you said you'd never done any movies. and right. really not any television either.
Right.
Before doing 6 Feet Under. But you had done stage work.
Mm-hmm.
The transition from stage to camera can be difficult. What was that transition like for you? Because you had to learn what it's like to be in front of the camera, and you had to learn for real really quickly.
Yeah. I think I've done my share of auditioning before getting this job for television shows or small parts in movies, and I think having a character that I could so completely absorb myself with helped me to forget about the camera initially. And whereas sometimes reading for a sitcom pilot, my self-consciousness would be a larger presence than my sense of the character. And as I've gone on, I think I've realized that the camera can be your friend, and you have to sort of accept that it's very much in the room with you and in a lot of ways a character in the scene because it's the point of view.
How aware are you of where the camera is, what it's looking at?
It varies. You know, 6 Feet Under, we do a lot of different kinds of shots. There's a standard shot that you may notice that there'll be someone in the foreground and someone in the background. They'll do raking shots sometimes, two characters in profile, but they're both in focus. Sometimes during intake meetings, maybe you'll see David and Nate. One, you're almost close enough to whisper into one character's ear, and then the other one's a little bit beyond that. And when a camera's that close to you, you definitely need to keep in mind that it's there and maybe modify modify what you're doing or the degree to which you're doing it. And rather than pretending the camera isn't there, very much embracing the camera and where it is. And I people always talked about making love to the camera.
Mm-hmm.
I never really had a sense of what that meant until I think it's just, it's about that. It's about not shutting it out, but rather opening yourself to it. And, you know, I think Frances Conroy, who plays the mother on the show, is an amazing example of that. She's just so sort of wide open in terms of her screen presence.
Are there things that really surprised you about how you looked on camera?
I thought I looked like an alien.
Why?
I wasn't used to it. It's kind of like the first time you hear your tape-recorded voice, maybe.
Uh-huh.
I watched the pilot, and I thought everyone was wonderful, but there was this alien in a suit walking through the scenes. But at the same time, I tried to get over that because I know some actors say they don't watch themselves, but I feel like there's a great deal to learn in that. And I've gotten a little bit more used to it. Inevitably, I cringe at some points, and sometimes that's about acting. Sometimes it's about vanity. But
well, those two things can really be in conflict. If you're self-conscious, but
right.
you feel that the way to learn is to watch yourself, you know, those two impulses are a little bit at war.
Yeah, it's interesting because the look of the show is we have different directors for almost every episode, but because the look of the show is somewhat consistent. Now when we shoot shots, at least on a set that's familiar to me, I really, when I watch them afterwards, I realize that I can totally see them in my head. And so that's nice.
Now, earlier we were talking about how before you got the role of David Fisher on 6 Feet Under, you played the MC in the Broadway production of Cabaret. Have you done much singing and dancing on stage?
When I was a kid, my first experiences performing were in choirs. I was in a boys' choir, like in fifth grade, and
mm-hmm.
did a lot of choral singing through college. I was in a chamber choir that sang in Vienna, and I did a lot of that, and did high school musicals. But when I got out of college, I went to grad school at NYU and really focused strictly on acting. And I guess it wasn't until a few years out of college that I started to do some workshops of musical theater pieces in New York and came back to the musical theater. But I think I always knew that I probably would.
What were your biggest parts in musicals when you were in school?
I went to a private day school, and so there was a big musical that I was a part of every spring from sixth grade through my senior year. So I did, see if I can remember them. The Sound of Music, The King and I, South Pacific, Bye Bye Birdie, Oklahoma, Fiddler on the Roof, and Annie Get Your Gun.
So what were the songs that were best suited to you?
Best suited to me?
Mm-hmm.
I would say my favorite performance, and it was ultimately just a chance to show off, was in ninth grade when I got to play Conrad Birdie in Bye Bye Birdie. And got to walk into the audience and spray painted my hair black. And
did you get to sing Sincere?
Got to be, yeah. You got to be sincere. And what a lot of living to do.
Oh,
which,
yeah.
Which, ironically enough, I sang the Anne Margaret verse of in the 10th episode of 6 Feet Under in the first season when I was dancing with the vacuum cleaner.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Michael C. Hall plays David on the HBO series 6 Feet Under. I'm Terry Gross, and this is Fresh Air.